Let's talk about the Daytona duels. But before we get to that, remember, if you go to dfsnotes.com or racefortheprize.com, you can access the spreadsheets for just $2 this week. We'll get you the Daytona 500 sheet, which includes the dual optimizer, which I have included. Yeah, that's what includes means. The Xfinity sheet's free this week. Next week, we go to our normal price at Atlanta, $5 for the Xfinity sheet, $5 for the Cup sheet. Enough with the promos and advertisements and infomercials. Let's look at the Daytona duels. The first thing that I want to do before we go into Optimizer and try to goof around with building a lineup is I want to look and see, well, how volatile or how wrecky is this race? Or is it a conservative race? It's a nighttime race. You got a lot more grip. You should have a lot more control, even with these low downforce cars. But we look at the first duel from last year, and we see that Joey Logano leads 56 laps. That means I'm going to need the lap leader. If I've got a very solid car up front, very likely we're going to see single file racing. Very likely that we're going to see one guy run away with this short sprint to the finish. I'm pretty sure that's common. We'll see if we can find some more trends in that department. We have a lot of wrecks in this race. Five cars wreck out, which is not what I believe is common in a Gatorade duel race, or, well, actually, they were the Can-Am duels this year, Gander Mountain outdoor duels. You got five cars wrecking, but when you look at the cars that wreck, well, one was Brett Keselowski. He's had terrible luck at these plate tracks recently, so file that away. But then you also had David Gilliland, who got wrecked by Ricky Stenhouse. You have William Byron, who got wrecked by Ricky Stenhouse. And you have Danica Patrick. No, it wasn't Danica Patrick. It was Eric Almirola. That was actually surprising. And you had Jimmy Johnson. So, again, those are some people who are notorious for being terrible plate racers, getting into wrecks. Not really surprised when you put that many guys in a plate race that something bad can happen. But for the most part, the guys that you wouldn't think would wreck, they didn't wreck. You've got 15 of the 20 cars finish on the lead lap. You got one guy that runs away with it. Don't expect a lot of crazy wrecks. And the Keselowski wreck was at the very end of the race. Let's look at the other dual race from last season and try to get an idea of what to expect. I believe this one, the second race, and there might be a trend there. When the first race is a little crazier, the second race is probably more tame. And they didn't even put... Oh, wait, no, I'm looking at 2019. I'm about to start screaming at the screen. Where's the duel? Why didn't you put the data? All right, so we look at the second race, and we've got two cars that wreck out, DiBenedetto and Kyle Larson. They get tangled up, but that's pretty much it. Everybody else, pretty much for the most... Well, you get 14 cars finishing on the lead lap. Danica Patrick finishing on the lead lap. Well, I'm not really that surprised. She's taking it easy in that car. Last year, she had that one-time ride, which she managed to wreck in the 500. So what I'm seeing here is it doesn't seem like it's much of a wreck fest. You've got Chase Elliott, who starts fifth, leads 34 laps. One thing that we do notice is the guys that start first usually just say, get the crap out of there. Denny Hamlin starts first. Probably doesn't mix it up very much. He did lead 18 laps, so maybe not so much him. But usually the pole sitter, like if we go back and look at Alex Bowman, I believe, was the pole sitter last year in the 500 race. What did Bowman end up doing? I think he finished near the back and didn't even really run any laps. Where is Bowman at? It was Bowman last year, wasn't it? Could be making that up. Okay, I just clicked on the wrong race again. Yikes. All right, let's look. Can-Am Duel number one, 2018. First place starter. Yeah, Alex Bowman ends up finishing 14th, the second to last car in the lead lap. So when you win the pole or you're on the front row, the worst, because there's only two people locked in. Obviously, the first and second place qualifiers, I believe, are locked into the front row in the Daytona 500. And the only way that you can lose that spot is by wrecking in the duel and having to go to a backup car. So as long as you just go back there and turn laps, you'll be fine. And I would imagine that William Byron is going to do the same exact thing and just turn. They could try to parade around and lead cars. Who knows? I would imagine that they will just go to the back. Let's look at the 2017. I don't know how deep we really want to dive into these, but we might as well. Let's look at 2017 and see if it's a wreck fest. The first dual race, no. You got one car that crashes and two cars that are disqualified on lap 60. I don't even remember what that was or why did they get disqualified? What happened there? I don't even know. I don't even care. I can't remember. I'm drawing a blank about what that would possibly mean. I imagine it was they got thrown out because of they failed some sort of post-race inspection. I'm not seeing the information in front of me. Don't really care. big point is no wreck really in that 2017 race. So we go back to, and these were low downforce era. So 2017 was the craziest year. 2018 was pretty crazy too. But 17 was insane for plate racing wrecks. And stages had a little bit to do with that, but the low downforce definitely didn't help. We have one car that wrecks, Ryan Blaney, in the second race. Other than that, everybody on the lead lap, everybody turning laps. You got Dale Earnhardt Jr. leading 53 laps. Who led in the 2017 first race? Was it one guy? And you're going to need a guy if they lead a bunch of laps. Chase Elliott leading 25, and Brad Keselowski leading 28. So there's another theory here. Chase Elliott starts on the pole, and he does not drop to the back and take it easy. So maybe you can make an argument that William Byron's not going to drop to the back. I'm not really crazy about rostering him. I'm under the, at least right now, as I'm recording this podcast, I'm going into this race thinking probably not going to be a lot of wrecks, not going to be very volatile. I don't imagine the guys in the back are going to jump all the way to the front. You may have some guys in the back who pick the right lane and get the right run and finish 10, 15 place, 15 is really pushing it, but 10 place differential points in the positive. But I do not imagine we're going to see what we normally see at a plate race where the guys in the back all end up in the optimal lineup. Some of the guys starting towards the front, who just stay up front and finish with a decent amount of points, could work their way into the optimal lineup. I also believe that if there's one lap leader, I'm going to need him. If there are two lap leaders and both of them finish inside the top five-ish range, then you're probably going to need both of those guys as well. So let's look at Duel 1, and let's run this silly little optimizer. If you get the Fantasy NASCAR spreadsheet, $2, just send it to me on Venmo or PayPal. You can find the information at racefortheprize.com. I'll send you the sheet over, and then you can play around this thing all you want. Now, you can't play around with it on the sheet that I send you, but you can make a copy and save it to your drive, and then you can, you know, go hog wild with it. I've got some just real quick projections. They're not really projections. They're just placeholder numbers, but really a placeholder number at a plate race, what does it even matter? And if you want to know, well, what numbers did you put in? Really, I basically put in ceiling numbers for people. It's basically the guys around, starting around the top 10, which are halfway decent drivers. I just plugged them all in for a first place finish to see where their ceiling would be. And then the guys starting about 8th to 18th, I put their ceiling at 5th. And then the guys in the very back, which I really don't think are going to move that forward, far forward, about 12th. You can mess around with it however you want. You want to put individual projections. You want to put like 1 through 20 and map out exactly where people want to be. Put it on your, you know, pay the $2, save the copy, and then you'll get the projections and the numbers that you want, and then you can use the optimizer. It's completely up to you. I am not selling picks. I am not selling projections. I'm just making a spreadsheet. That is all this is. That has some advanced data, has some pretty cool functions in it that I believe is absolutely worth more than $2. And it's definitely worth $5 moving forward. Makes your life easier, fun to play around with. I believe it's really going to help enhance your daily fantasy NASCAR experience. Again, put your own projections in. Have fun with it. Tweak it. Do whatever you want. So I've got mine in. Again, it's basically just ceilings. And I've also downgraded William Byron. I'm just going to go as far as to just completely exclude him from my pool. Don't want him in it. And I'm going to take Jimmy Johnson out as well. I'm going to exclude him from the lineup optimization. I'm going to take Daniel Hemric out as well. I might be going a little too far, but hey, it's up to you. However you want to do it. I'm going to lock Brad Keselowski in, and I'm not going to lock in Menard or Busch. I don't mind them. I like them. I'll leave Stenhouse in. Buescher's fine. I'm going to lock in Bubba Wallace. Probably don't need to do it, but I'm going to, and then that's about it. So I've locked in my lineup. Keselowski, Wallace, I've taken out Byron, Johnson, and Hemric. Let's run the optimization and see what this thing spits out for me. You can build your own lineups by hand. That's cool, too. But let's just do the optimization and see what this thing. It takes a couple of seconds for it to run. And we'll see who. Obviously, it's going to give me Keselowski. It's going to give me Bubba Wallace. Then it's going to crunch the salaries based on the projections that I gave in. Remember, these are ceiling projections. It's going to give me a lineup. I'm not giving away lineups. This is just the thing that it's spitting out. If we adjust the projections, it's going to adjust who the optimals are. I think it's definitely worth the $2 this week, especially at the plate races. I've even got a sheet in here that does your random name generator. It'll throw a bunch of random names at you, like you might have remembered from the NASCAR Wheel of Death that we used to play around with on DFSNotes.com. I've got that function put into the spreadsheet if you want to go that route. I do not have a mass entry function in here yet. That's something that I'll look into in the future. Not there yet. All right, here's the lineup that spits out. Brad Keselowski, Paul Menard, Kyle Busch, and then I've got DiBenedetto, Bubba Wallace, Matt Tift. That's what it likes. And that's mainly due to the projections. I've got Brad Keselowski. I punched in him leading some laps. Paul Menard, based on salary at $8,300. Kyle Busch, again, if he hits a ceiling of first place because he's getting just enough place differential points. And then it kind of slides to the back end where I've got DiBenedetto possibly, hitting fifth place. I've got Wallace possibly hitting. Let me readjust that and say, all right, DiBenedetto finishing fifth is probably a little steep. Let's give DiBenedetto a ninth place. Let's give Bubba Wallace, I don't mind fifth place for Bubba, but let's downgrade it to seventh. And Matt Tith, let's take him to 12th. So that was probably a little high there. And let's run it again and see what I get. Because, I mean, that was a little steep in my book. I'm still going to end up with Bubba Wallace. Even if he wasn't locked in, he would probably still end up in this lineup optimization. And I'm pretty certain, I mean, just looking at the scores on the screen, if you have the spreadsheet, you can see from the green and the red that Keselowski, Menard, and Kyle Busch love them. The lineup loves those guys. And I love them, too. I don't think I need to change my optimization either. I could see Menard and Keselowski working together, finishing 1 and 2. And Kyle Busch has shown in the Las Vegas plate test that he's got some real plate skill that he's ready to unleash on NASCAR. And he looked pretty racy in the Clash race. I'm excited, especially if you've listened to the past podcast about where I think it's going to be. Now, I don't believe anyone's going to dump the leader in this dual race. But moving forward, I like the idea of the aggressive plate racer that will do what's necessary. And in my fantasy NASCAR rankings article at DraftKings Playbook, I say that the winners of these plate races are going to be the guys that take spots and the guys that make spots. So again, we get Keselowski, Menard, and Kyle Busch. And then we get Ryan Truex, Ryan Preece, and Bubba Wallace are in our optimal lineup. How much money do we leave on the table is a good question. We spend $47,900, so we leave $2,100 on the table. Pretty common at these plate races. Wouldn't be surprised to see people leave more. And then it's projecting 312 points now. Who knows if that exact number. Obviously, remember the projections I punched in. We don't know. I'm only accounting for one lap lead. Let's look at Duel 2 as we wrap up the podcast. We got Alex Bowman starting first. I'm going to take him out of my pool. Should I leave Alex Bowman up front? He does have a teammate in Chase Elliott. I don't want him. Taking him out. Chase Elliott, I like him a lot. I was going to lock him in. I'm not going to lock him in. I am going to lock Joey Logano in. I believe he can lead a lot of laps. I'm not going to lock in Boyer, but he's fine in that position. Austin Dillon's fine. Hamlin's fine. Jones, fine. Blaney, fine. All really good spots. They're kind of in that sweet spot I'm looking at from 7 to 10 area. Or 7 to 10 Almirola, too. I might want to lock in Eric Almirola. That can legitimately earn a top finish and maybe lead some laps. It's a pretty good crew running right there. And I'm not seeing a lot of teammates. Logano doesn't really have a teammate to work with. I'm not seeing JGR guys. Hamlin and Jones, but I don't know how well they'll work together. I guess Blaney could get up there and help Logano. Almirola and Busch are no longer teammates. I like Kurt Busch a lot there, but I'm not going to lock him in. Reagan's fine. McDowell's fine. Mears is fine. McMurray's fine. I'm going to lock in Kyle Larson starting that far back. Ty Dillon's fine. I'm not going to exclude any of the guys in the back. I could exclude Gase, McLeod, and LaJoy, but I don't see why you would. This is a plate race. Anything can happen. There's no reason to take those guys out of your pool. I want to adjust the projections. Let's not go too aggressive here. I don't mind considering Blaney, which is starting in eighth, and the big-name drivers there all could earn a first-place finish. I'll throw them all in there. Almirola at fifth. That's pretty conservative, but we'll roll with that. Casey Mears finishing seventh. I think that's a little much. I'm going to dial him down to ninth. McMurray finishing fifth might be a little bit. I'm going to put him back to ninth, too. Gone at seventh. I'm going to push him back to ninth. Kyle Larson, I'm going to give him a little bit more ceiling and put him at seventh. Ty Dillon, I'm going to give Ty Dillon a 10th place finish. He could go. Let's give him a 9th place finish. Ross Chastain, 10th is fine. LaJoy, 12th is kind of steep. LaJoy, McLeod, and Gase at 12. It's pretty steep, but I'll leave it in. And there's my projection. And so I've only excluded Alex Bowman, and I locked in Logano, I locked in Larson. Let's run this thing and see what it spits out at me here on the Fantasy NASCAR spreadsheet for the, not Can-Am Duels, Gander Outdoor Duels. Again, if you guys like the podcast, please leave a positive review and then send me a message about the positive review you gave, and then I'll send something your way. $2, Venmo if you want to get the sheet as I'm watching this crunch and crunch. There's a bunch of articles, well, not necessarily articles, but podcasts. A lot of the podcasts that I recorded in December and in January as I was launching this podcast as the infomercial for the spreadsheet, I intentionally recorded evergreen podcasts that necessarily weren't super statistic heavy or were statistic heavy looking towards the future. Most of the podcasts, if you're super bored or if you like these podcasts, you can listen to them now and still get vital information. They are evergreen podcasts. They don't necessarily age. Going forward, as I do weekly podcasts, when we get like this week, this Daytona Duel, this is not evergreen. You're probably not going to listen to this next week. And then when we get into Atlanta, after the Atlanta week, you're probably not going to listen. But I'm going to still continue to try to get some of these evergreen podcasts in here and there. And there's plenty of them scattered throughout. So you can always dig through the archives at iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, or tell your Alexa, play the Fantasy NASCAR podcast. All right, here's what we got. Chase Elliott, Joey Logano. Remember, I didn't lock Chase Elliott in, but it likes Chase Elliott. Eric Jones, Jamie McMurray, Kyle Larson, Ty Dillon. So Kyle Larson, Ty Dillon, obviously based on the place differential, if they can hit their ceiling. Jamie McMurray there too, based on salary. Then we got Elliott, Logano, and Jones. I think, did I punch in? I believe I factored in. I gave Chase Elliott 5 laps lead points there. And that might be too much. I'm going to take those away. We spent $49,800. Only left $200 on the table. I got a $286. Let's take out those 5 place differential points or 5 laps led points for Chase Elliott and run this thing again because I don't believe I will get Chase Elliott this time. All right, let's let it run again. It takes a little while. Now, for the duels, there's only a 20-car field, but when you run this thing on your own with 40 cars in the field, it's going to take a couple minutes, and you got to be patient. You got to be patient. And there's a video to help you figure out how to do it. And if you've bought the... There's also some videos on my YouTube page to help you out with the spreadsheet. If you're wondering, like, well, how do these things work? What's this column mean? What am I supposed to do? I've made a bunch of videos. I made them last year, and they're there to check out if you need some information on who exactly you play. I mean, how exactly to read the spreadsheet. If you're confused, send me an email, and I will hook you up with the information. Again, how to run the lineup optimizer. There's a video what add-on you need to get, which only takes a second. It's pretty simple to do. I've done most of the work for you. You just hit the button. All you got to decide is who you want to lock, who you want to exclude, or don't lock or exclude anybody. All right, so it's still running. It is still running. How's this thing still running? Is it running at all? Oh, I'm on the wrong sheet. Well, did I even run it the first time? Oh, yeah, I must have run on that. Come on, you stupid thing. Well, one of the things you're going to notice is this spreadsheet will definitely use some of the resources of your computer. I don't think that the Elliott Logano Jones... Wait, let's go back and do that again. I made a mistake. So let's go back and run the optimizer. One of the optimizer issues, not an issue, it's just my own stupid user error. You have to make sure that when you're using the optimizer, you're doing the right sheet. A lot of times I'll run the optimizer for a different sheet. So I want to look at Duel 2 Opt is the name of the sheet, and now I want to run it. So I'm going to run it once with Elliott in the front, and then we'll run it, Elliott leading laps, and then I'll run it with Elliott not leading laps. We'll talk about those, and then we'll call it a podcast for the day. I'm going to try to get you a Fantasy NASCAR podcast on the Xfinity drivers. Squeezed for time. As I've mentioned before, I'm going to be out of town this weekend. But by the time I leave, everything should be good to go. The only thing that I'm going to probably be busy doing is checking my phone, seeing that you've got money in PayPal, then clicking, adding you to the spreadsheet, sending you the email to get it rolled. That's really the only work I believe that I'm going to be doing for the spreadsheet, because it's just a spreadsheet, guys. All the data should be in there. All right, so here's what kicks out. This is with Elliott leading laps. With him leading laps. I don't get Elliott now. I get Logano. I get Dillon. I get Jones. I get Blaney. And then I get Michael McDowell, and I get Kyle Larson, who I locked in. So even with Elliott having those points, because he's like, well, why was Elliott in this first place? Because it was an old lineup run that I did where I had Elliott locked into my lineup. If Elliott gets 5 laps lead points, they do not have him projecting as being optimal based on his salary. And salary-wise, I'm spending $4,900. Let me try this again. $49,600. Only $400 left on the table. Spending about every dollar. The salaries seem pretty tight this year. Seem pretty tight. So not that easy to build some of these lineups, and it's got me playing a lot of the guys up near the front, but that's just kind of the way my projections are. What if I say, let me just do this. Let's give Elliott second place. Let's give Logano first. Let's give Boyer third. Let's give Dylan fifth, Hamlin fourth, Jones sixth. I'm going to give Blaney second place. You can't have two people finishing second. Yeah, you can. It's your projections. You can do whatever you want with it. That's your... I mean, some people are like, oh, no, you can only put one position for every driver because that's the way it really works out. That's true. Or you can err on the side of caution and say, yeah, you know, Blaney could also finish second. Let's run it again. And this is going to give me something completely different because Dylan's value has plummeted. Eric Jones's value has plummeted. I had them projected as their absolute ceiling was a first-place finish, which was definitely probably too high. Probably should have really cracked them down to a third-place finish. Anything else that I want to talk about while the lineup optimizer is running? Do I need to play a bunch of guys in the back? Nope. I don't think so. But I don't have past optimal dual lineups in front of me. So I may be speaking a little bit out of school there. But knowing, like we talked about, these races are pretty conservative. Not a lot of wrecks. That means the guys that start up front more than likely are going to stay up front. Not all of them. But not many are going to slide to the front. This time, I do get Chase Elliott. I do get Joey Logano, who I had locked in. I get Ryan Blaney. I get David Reagan, Michael McDowell, and I get Kyle Larson. So there it is, folks. Check out the spreadsheet if you want to do this on your own. You may not need to. Only 20 cars in the field. You can probably play around with your own idea and your own little ideas of how to build a lineup. Or maybe not. I'm here if you need me. Thanks for checking out the podcast. I appreciate all the positive feedback. I love the numbers that are going up. Keep it going. I don't really... Should have thought about something to say to close out this podcast. Feeling good.